Hello. In this video, I want to talk to you about visual aids. And visual aids are something that we use a lot in presentations. I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of death by PowerPoint at some point. I also think that they can really be very, very helpful if you use them effectively in a presentation. So we're going to talk about how to use visual aids effectively, how to give you that kind of flexibility around how you use visual aids and what benefits they give you. So if we think about the type of visual aids that we use, there's probably two things that come to mind primarily. One is slides, with a projector, usually, especially if we're in a room. If we're online, it's going to be slightly different. So we've got slide projector and we've got flip chart, are probably the two main ones, or a whiteboard, which is kind of very similar to a flip chart. There are lots of other visual aids that we might use. We might use performance, for instance. We might use models. So, I mean, sort of physical models of things that we're talking about so that people can pass them around. So that gets that kind of kinesthetic element to it, as well as the visual and the auditory. We might use maps, we might use examples, we might use so there's lots that we might do. We might have people coming on and giving a demonstration, so in that kind of level of performance. But as a general rule, the two that we use the most are going to be Flipchart and PowerPoint. And both of these have got advantages and disadvantages. So if we think about the advantages of projector, for instance, or slide projector, we'll talk about PowerPoint as a generic term, I guess. So the advantages of PowerPoint are that it's very portable. You can carry it around on a pen drive, assuming that there's a laptop available for you when you get there. They can be very well prepared, so they can look really slick. You can pre-prepare them, you can bring them along. They can be very corporate, they can be very slick, they can have animation in, you can put video clips in and audio clips and all kinds of things that can really add value to your presentation. And we'll talk a little bit about using PowerPoint in a while. It does have some downsides though. If the technology doesn't work, you've got real problems. And that's happened to me on several occasions. So it does have that problem. The other problem is that you can get kind of carried away with the technology. And we'll talk about that in a little while. So there is a downside in the sense that there's either the technology doesn't work, or your tendency to go over the top in terms of what you can do with it, and too many slides, too much information on slides, and so on, can really switch the audience off. So having a balance is really important. So, this is definitely a case of less is more in this sense. One of the other downsides to PowerPoint is its lack of flexibility. So you have all the slides in a particular slideshow. It's not easy, or it doesn't seem to be easy to be able to change that on the hoof and kind of find your way around it. But there is a way of doing that, and we'll talk about how to get over some of these problems associated with PowerPoint and with flip charts in a little while. Obviously, there are benefits to flip charts as well. You don't need technology. You don't need a plug. You don't need a laptop. You don't need a pen drive. You do need pens, and that's something that's really important. And I would always recommend carrying your own pens with you if you're going to use flip chart, because I've been in so many rooms where the pens are all dried out and they look like the end of a chewed stick, and they're really, really difficult. So it doesn't give a good example. So the positives are that it's very portable. You can take it wherever you want to be. Usually it's going to work effectively because especially with smaller groups, with larger groups, one of the downsides, of course, is that you might not be able to see the flip chart at a distance very well. So you can also be very dynamic with a flip chart, so you can create it on the hoof. You can decide what diagrams and what lettering you're going to put on there at any moment as you go through. So it's very interactive in that sense. So some of the downsides, obviously, are you've got to carry a stand with you if you're taking it somewhere. You need to make sure you've got the pens. You need to make sure you've got paper, because I've been to so many places where the paper is all been used up, so and no one can find any, and we've already used the backside of the flip chart and stuff. So I would always recommend carrying a set of pens and a pad around with you if you're going to use flip chart. Other downsides are that, you know, your handwriting might not be the best. I know mine isn't, but over the years I've learnt that if I write in capitals, it's usually legible by people. There are also the other problems of, you know, using it as a crutch. So you hold on to your flip chart. I've seen that happen quite a lot. And also when people write, if they're holding the flip chart, they tend to write and the writing goes down at an angle across the page. So it doesn't look as good. It doesn't look as slick as PowerPoint. But it does have that ability to be dynamic and create images as you go. It also enhances your credibility as a presenter in terms of your knowledge, because if you're drawing these diagrams on the flip chart, then the implication is you know what you're talking about. Whereas with a PowerPoint, you could have just taken that diagram off the internet and you maybe don't know anything about it. And so you have to reinforce that with the content and the things you're talking about. So there are pros and cons to both of those. What I'd like to do is to kind of explore a little bit how you can overcome some of the cons on each of those and maybe enhance the way you use your PowerPoint and the way that you use your flip chart. So we're going to start with PowerPoint. So here's an example of a PowerPoint slide. And you may have come across this kind of slide in the past. I'm not necessarily agreeing that this is an excellent example of a PowerPoint slide. In fact, I would say it's exactly the opposite. So the point about showing you this slide is looking at things that people quite often get wrong with PowerPoint. And in particular, you know, looking at the different levels of fonts there, that's a real problem. Comic Sans, which is the visual aids bit at the top, that really, really annoys some people now. And I would avoid using it. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, it was all over the place, but I know it really winds people up. And below that, we've got Times New Roman, which as a serif font, it isn't very clear to read when it's projected quite high. So I would say use a sans serif font. The one below it, where it says choose the most appropriate medium, yellow is really not very good. Look for a much better contrast in colors. Blue on white or white on blue works really, really effectively. Which is why, you know, motorway signs are blue on white or white on blue. I can't remember which way around they are. It's so long since I've driven on a motorway at the moment. And that's why they're that color, because at 70 miles an hour, you can pick them up really quickly. They also use lowercase rather than all capitals, because with all capitals, you tend to read each letter and construct the word, whereas with lowercase, you see the outline of the word and you read it much more quickly. And you may have seen those examples that people send around on Facebook and things that are the start and the end of a word, but the letters in between are mixed up, but you can still understand what the message is based on that. If you're using different fonts, I would say keep it to two at the most. Having lots of different fonts on the screen gets confusing. And different colors, make sure the colors are there in terms of the way that they, the way that the contrast, so it makes it easier to read. Also, when you're thinking about using your animations on screen, there are lots and lots of different animations. Use them carefully, use them to add value rather than just because they look really clever. The last one there was really, really annoying when it brought every word in. I originally set it up to do every letter and it was so annoying. So think about how you're going to use your animations. Other things that are useful to know in terms of the downsides of PowerPoint. One is that trying to rejig your presentation on the hoof can be quite difficult. But if you just type a number in and then enter, you get to that number of slide. So for instance, we have a cover slide for presentation of the presenter's toolkit. And if I decide that actually going to slide two isn't the best thing to do, we need to go to slide four next because I'm responding to an audience. All I need to do is to type four in and then enter, and it jumps to slide four straight away. And we can then do to slide six or back to slide one, and it jumps around as we need it. So if you're presenting, it's a good idea to have all the slides printed out and have them numbered. So if you want to rejig the order of your presentation on the hoof, you can do it really easily just by typing the number and enter. Another thing that works really well is that we can black the screen out just by typing B, and then we can type B and it comes back again. If we want the screen to go white, we type W and then W back again. You may already know these things. It was quite an eye-opener to me when I learned them a while ago, but I find them really, really helpful. You know, if you're using a clicker, and I really recommend you do that, because if you're presenting on a stage to an audience rather than online, then being able to move around the stage and not having to keep going back and pressing the page up button or the tab button, or having somebody else do it and having to break eye contact and break your flow and say, next slide, please. Using one of those clickers is really, really effective. And they quite often have a blackout button on them as well. So you can use that instead of having to press B or W. But if you haven't and you still want to use the keyboard, then the B and the W works really, really well in terms of controlling what people look at. Because if something is on a screen, people will look at it and they will read it. And that's one of the reasons why it's a good idea not to put all of your information on the slide at once, but actually make it reveal and animate it in some way. Because if it's all there on the screen, people are reading it and they're not looking at you. And if you want them to move their attention from the screen back to you, pressing W or B or using the button on your clicker, when it blacks out, they look back at you again. So it's about almost controlling where people look and when they look at the information on the screen and when they look at you. And so it's quite straightforward to do, but it's really, really effective in terms of getting people's content. With the content that you put on the slide, it's always a good idea to reduce it as much as you can, unless you're creating a larger model, and we'll talk about that in a second. Then it's good to have smaller amounts of information on the slide rather than lots of information, and to keep the slides down as much as you can. I once was involved in a leadership program where I was following somebody who was talking about health and safety, and they overran their session every time by 45 minutes. They overran it by 45 minutes. And I remember sitting in the audience and looking at the guy next to me who'd got a stack of 35 slides. 70 slides. He had a stack of 70 slides in a booklet. And he said, look, we're up to slide 35. And each of those slides had a huge amount of content on. And the problem with that was not only are the audience reading all of the content on the screen, the presenter was reading all of the content as well. And that's a good tip for you as a presenter in terms of, you know, do you have do you have lots of notes? Do you have a script? Do you have keywords, whatever? The more you've got, the more you'll read. And it's really difficult for most people to read without sounding different than talking, you know? So you hear actors on the radio who are acting, they're reading at the same time, but they're trained to be able to do it. And almost all the time when we read something, we have a different voice. And of course that breaks eye contact and we're looking down at the sheet that we're reading. So unless you've got a teleprompter app or something so that it's coming up on the screen as you're talking, I would go for as little as you can. One of the ways that I use PowerPoint in presentations is the heading of each slide comes up, so I know what it is I'm talking about next. And I use the heading as my prompt for the next part of the presentation. So I don't use a script. I don't use short notes. I don't use cards. And if you are going to use cards, then I would suggest you put as little information on each one that makes it work for you. And a really good tip that somebody told me about that is to make sure you put a hole in the corner of each card and put some string around them so they're in the right order if you drop them, because I've seen that happen before where people have dropped stuff and it's all in the wrong order when it comes back. And you want to try and reduce the stress as much as you can do. So that's about some general tips about using PowerPoint and the other types of presentation slide tools that are available. One of the things that I really like about Flipchart is that it is dynamic and images grow and writing grows and it's interactive and you're doing something and it sounds, you can make it look like it's just something that you've just decided to do now. It gives you that credibility and it helps you to kind of get your message across really effectively in real time. Some of the problems we've talked about, with a big audience, it's really difficult to see. You might not be the best at writing. You might not be at the best at creating models on a flip chart. But ways you can get around that are you can pre-prepare your flip chart with pencil. So you can write the words on in pencil. Remember, you can get lined flip chart and squared flip chart paper anyway. So that helps you to keep writing straight. You can also pre-prepare your models and your written words and things on there in pencil, because if you write it in pencil at the right size that you're gonna just draw over it, basically, people in the audience can't see the pencil, but you can when you're close to it. So it means that you can create a really complex diagram or model on the flip chart and it'd be absolutely spot on, and you haven't like tried to squash something up at one side, which I've seen people do with words. You end up having to, you've not planned it effectively, so you've got to squash the words up at one side of the sheet. So one of the things I like to do, though, is I like to think about how I can use flip charts as PowerPoint and how I can use PowerPoint like flip charts, because there are benefits to both of those things. Having a pre-prepared set of flip charts with photos on and things, because obviously that's one of the things it's difficult to do on the flip chart is import photos and video. Well, it's pretty impossible to do video. But with photos, you can stick photos on. You can laminate flip charts so that you can write on them with whiteboard pens and rub them out and stuff. So it's about being flexible and thinking about how you can do these things. If you are in a situation where you don't have access to technology, then pre-prepare your flip charts. You can stick photos on, you can pre-prepare diagrams, you can do all of those things that mean that you can just take your flip chart pad along and there's your presentation tool kit. I also think it's really important that you are able to recreate your presentation slides as basically as possible on a flip chart in case the technology doesn't work. And I've had that happen to me before now, where I've got a presentation prepared and it doesn't work. And, the first time that happened was back in the days of overhead projector, where I had pre-prepared printed slides for an overhead projector in my case as well, just in case. And that time it was spot on. It looked really good because I was able to do that. Since then, what I've been able to do is use Flipchart to draw the slides on that were already on the PowerPoint if necessary. So let's have a look at how you can use PowerPoint like a flip chart. So Zoom has when you're screen sharing with Zoom, it has a whiteboard option, which is pretty good. It's difficult unless you've got a touch-sensitive screen to be able to draw on it effectively, but you can type on it and be creative in that sense. And what I'm using to just illustrate this is I'm using my iPad, which I am screen mirroring with the laptop. And there's lots of different techniques to different apps that you can use to share the screen, to mirror the screen on your iPad, on your laptop. I use 360 mirroring, which works fairly well for this. And I'm also using an iPad with an iPad Pen, Apple Pen, and Notability, which is the app that I'm using. There are lots of different apps that I use, but I use this one. And I quite like using this approach for presentations, because it means that essentially I'm using a whiteboard or a flip chart. So what I want to do is just give you an example of a typical model that I would draw on a flip chart usually, or on my whiteboard app. And then I'll show you how I've created a PowerPoint presentation to sort of mirror that for bigger situations. So I'm not going to go into this in any detail. I'm just going to show you how I build this up, and then we'll do the PowerPoint version of it. Now, as I said before, the problem with flipchart is that in a large audience, it's hard for them to read models with lots of detail in. So we need to use PowerPoint for that. Now, it's possible now with the technology that I could screen mirror my iPad and project that onto a larger screen. And what I have done is created a single PowerPoint slide to build that image up in exactly the same way that I would on using a flip chart to try and recreate the experience. So let's have a look at that. So here we have a PowerPoint version of that flip chart model. And as you see, as we go through it, then what I'm essentially doing is trying to recreate the same feeling as if I'm writing these things down onto the flip chart, but creating it with a PowerPoint slide. So it's a single slide, and I'm trying to recreate the writing and the buildup of the slide that we normally do on PowerPoint. So quite a complicated model. And if we put all of that up just as one image, people would have been kind of reading around it. What I'm trying to do by doing that is lead people through the steps that I want to take them through, as if I was writing it on a flip chart. And I know I keep saying as if I was writing on a flip chart, but I think that thinking about how you can use flip chart like PowerPoint and how you can use PowerPoint like flip chart gives you a lot more flexibility in the way that you're going to deliver your presentations, because the visual element to it is really important, and it's important to get it right, to get the right information across, not to have too much content on your slides, but to use them in a way to enhance the words that you're using so that people still have to listen to you, but also that give added value to the overall experience. And I know people who just use photos, that's the only slide that they use. Or my daughter uses a lot of GIFs in her presentations, which are really effective as well, although sometimes they can distract attention away from her and onto the GIF on the projector. But again, by using your blackout button on your clicker, you can control the way that people look at you, because at the end of the day, you are the best visual image, the best visual aid that you can have to your presentation. So the way that you present, the way your body language, your tone of voice, the way that you give eye contact and the enthusiasm that you kind of put over in your own performance, because I keep saying this, but you know, a presentation is a performance, then the better you do that, the more people are going to take away what it is that you've got on board. To give you an example, when I worked in manufacturing, I worked for Ilford, the photographic company, and I worked in holographic emulsion research and development. And we had a guy come down, he was a professor of optics from Loughborough University at the time. And he came down to explain to us just how holograms worked and what the physics was behind it and so on. And so we sat in this room and he gave this presentation. And at the end of it, I walked away thinking, wow, that's the best presentation I've ever been to. And because I'm quite analytical and because I was learning at the time, I thought, right, what was it he did that was so good? And then I kind of analyzed his presentation and I realized, because I'd done a presentation skills course, I realized that he broke all of the rules that we were told we were never to be broken. So, you know, he stood in front of the projector. So the light was bouncing off his head. It was an overhead projector because it was a long, long time ago. And he had a piece of acetate paper on the overhead projector. He was using a pen to draw little tiny diagrams on it. And so he was looking down as he was talking. So he was breaking eye contact. He was using a red pen, so you could hardly see. And at the end of his presentation, it was covered in all these little tiny diagrams. He didn't have a structure to the presentation, and he broke every single rule. And yet I walked away from there thinking that was the best presentation I'd ever seen. And then analyzing that, I thought, well, why was that? And I thought, well, two things really. Well, several things really. One was I was interested in the subject anyway, so that's always a bonus. Secondly, he was very enthusiastic about his subject. So he gave it a kind of passion and gave it that kind of charisma because he was completely congruent in the way that he said stuff. Now, it wasn't following any particular order or any particular rules, but he could break those rules and get away with it because the content was good, it was interesting, he was interesting, and he was passionate and enthusiastic about how he was delivering it. Now, if you get those things right, you can make mistakes in other areas. It's a little bit like, you know, motivation at work, that if you are getting the recognition you need and the support and you're enjoying the job and the work's giving you value, the money is less important than if those things aren't there. So the things that are more conscious become more important if the unconscious and the emotional stuff isn't there. So in your presentation, you at least need to appear to be enthusiastic and knowledgeable and interested in the subject you're talking about, and then you become the best visual aid you've got. And whatever else you use becomes less important, and that's why you can get away with less and less of it. So the more confident you are, the more effectively you put yourself across in terms of your body language and your tone of voice and your expression, the less visual aid you need and the more that they add value. So less is absolutely more. And it's important not to rely on them as a crutch. So, you know, in terms of the flip chart stand, literally don't hold on to the flip chart stand, because if you're nervous, it'll rattle, and that's not a good thing. And I've seen people kind of hiding behind it when they're presenting as well. So avoid doing that, but also avoid putting loads of stuff on your PowerPoint because you're not very confident, because you'll end up just looking at the PowerPoint and reading it. So if you have the opportunity to set your laptop up in front of you so that, you know, you can see your laptop, you never need to take your eyes off the audience. And that's really, really helpful, because you know what's on the screen behind you, and you can read off what's on the screen. So as you build up the stuff behind you, so you're not moving, you're not breaking eye contact, and you're not looking away at the screen. Because when you look at the screen, your back's to the audience, they can't hear you effectively. You're reading what's on the screen, the whole thing kind of falls apart. So use the visual aids in a way that helps you get your presentation across, but also in a way that adds value and in a way that doesn't detract from you, because at the end of the day, you are the message. So good luck with that. I know some of that stuff you've probably heard before. Some of it you might not have done. Hearing it all in one lump might have been useful to you. I hope it was. And as I say, good luck with it.